This show is sponsored by author Jen Nixon. If you are looking for action-packed sci-fi, fantasy, or paranormal stories with a dash of romance, check out one of Jen's fast-paced and pulse-pounding series. Her books are available on Amazon Kindle and in paperback. To learn more and read free samples, visit her website, www.jennixon.com. That's Jen with two N's, Nixon.com. You've tuned in to Misbehaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical worlds, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. Helping me chronicle the amazing is, as always, the amazing herself, Jen Nixon. Jen, how tired are you this week?
A little better than last week, because we're getting closer to the end of tax season.
Yay.
And spring is almost here, which always makes me happy.
You know, I figured out this year, we have pine trees all over the property.
Mm-hmm.
Pine pollen.
Pine. Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh.
I had no clue.
I thank you for the reminder. I'm going to start taking my allergy pills this week.
Well, and my retirement plan was like live in the mountains, you know, with obviously with, you know, phone service and internet and everything.
Yes.
Cause
I'm not a savage.
Yes, right.
Of course. Absolutely not.
I don't know that I can do it now.
I'm concerned. That's crazy.
I'm concerned.
Guess we'll have to think about that.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Absolutely. So who do we have on the podcast this week?
I am so excited to welcome to the show Mel Todd. Mel has over 44 titles out. I'm not making that up. I checked, including her urban science fiction, Caelid Chronicles, the Blood War series, and the Twisted Luck series. She's the owner of Bad Ash Publishing. She is working to create a place for excellent stories and great authors. With over 2 million words published, she is aiming for another million in the next 2 years. Bad Ash Publishing. There, I did it. Bad Ash. I was so worried. Publishing specializes in stories that will grab you and make you hunger for more. With more books in the works, her stories can be found everywhere. You can follow her on Facebook at facebook.com/badashbooks. You can also sign up for her newsletter and follow her blog at www.badashpublishing.com. And for anyone who is even remotely wondering, yes, Ash, A-S-H. Mel, it is so good to have you on.
Welcome, you've now said my company name more times in the smallest amount of time I've ever heard. So I now feel like I should tell you the story behind the name of the company.
That is absolutely our first question.
Okay. So since this is an audio podcast, I obviously can't see everybody's faces. So I have a hard time judging ages. But I'm assuming you at least know the Army of Darkness.
Good Ash.
Yes.
Bad Ash.
I'll be 50 in 3 weeks for reference.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in the same age range here. Well, my husband's name was Ashley, and everybody referred to him as Ash. Mm-hmm. So the running joke always was Good Ash, Bad Ash. I'm the one with the gun. So when I started publishing, he was like, well, I'm always Bad Ash. So that's what it got named, was Bad Ash Publishing.
I love it. That's great.
Does your husband write too?
He does not.
Okay.
I don't even know how to answer that question in the correct verb form. My husband was killed in 2016.
Oh.
And so he loved my writing. He was a big fan of especially my fan fiction and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was a huge reader. Like you know, he would read a book a day without an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, he never had any major desire to write. He just wanted me to write faster.
Nice. Always good to have your biggest fan.
Yeah, that is a great partner to have. Condolences, of course, but
at this point we're pushing 8 years this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I miss him, but it's not the whole, oh my God, he's dead. It's like, no, I miss him, but my life is like broken into these before Ash, during Ash, and after Ash life.
Yeah.
You know, right. So I have three eras in my life.
Well, and what a great tribute.
Through. Yep.
Yeah, what a great tribute, though, that you still are Bad Ash Books. That's so great. That's so great. So
very awesome.
That it makes a good joke, especially when I'm doing podcasts. It's A-S-H, not what I'm sitting on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because that's what I thought. I looked at it. I'm like, badass publishing. I'm like, that's pretty cool. And then I'm like, badass. I'm like, that's even cooler.
And I wanted to be very clear.
Yes.
I wanted to be very clear. I got it pronounced correctly.
Yes.
You did.
Not because I'm afraid to say ass, because I'm not, but I did not want anybody going to badass publishing and not giving you the love you deserve.
Yeah, that's a totally different genre. Not what I write. Just saying.
So speaking of genres, it seems like you write in a few different genres here. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the genres you write in and your favorites.
Well, so mostly I write in what's called speculative fiction or mm-hmm. stories of wonder. So it's science fiction, fantasy, urban fantasy, and sci-fi urban fiction. Mm-hmm. And basically what I have found myself doing more and more is writing stories that don't have romance plot lines. You know, this is like, you know, plot twist. I actually started out as a romance author and I have mm-hmm. a romance pen name. And then when my husband was killed for some strange, shocking reason, I just had no desire to write happy ever after endings for other people anymore.
Totally
can't imagine why.
Right.
No, not at all.
Right.
So, and besides the fact that my, written smut was always rather lacking because I'm just not good at writing it. I've had no complaints about my performance, but my writing just never been exactly on par.
You know what? I think that's a good lesson, actually, because I was probably the complete opposite of you. I wanted to write straight up mystery suspense thrillers. And every single time I tried, romance. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Every time I try to write something, the two lead characters get together. So I'm just going to go with it. So I switched my genre from trying to do straight up mystery, whatever, and went to romance and just put everything else into the romance. So I've mashed mm-hmm. it all up. So I think going with your strengths is what you should do.
Yeah, it's amusing. There's no romance. There's no sex. There's lots of relationships. Mm-hmm. Because you have friends and you have other things, but the romance and sex stuff just is like, yeah, we'll deal with that later when we're not running for our lives.
Mm. Right. It's true. And I honestly, a lot of sci-fi writers should not write sex.
Like, I'm not arguing.
It kind of annoys me, unless I know that's what I'm getting.
I'm like, you have such a great plot. You have this wonderful world mm-hmm. building. Mm-hmm. Four pages of what they're doing to each other. Oh. I don't care. Oh, good. We're back to plot.
And it's sometimes really ham-fisted. Like, nobody likes that. Why would you think somebody likes that? Yeah.
I make sure that the sex scene is part of character growth, even if it's just two different lines. Something happens, you know, so, and it's usually, I have different levels. Obviously, you can go mm-hmm. really hot or normal, but you know, for my newest one, I'm keeping it like rated R, not rated X or anything like that. Like you'd be able to watch it on television, kind of thing. But it always advances the story. It's not just there for the sake of it, because I hear people hate that. So I made sure that I don't do that.
Well, I mean, I don't mind it if I'm purposely just looking for smut. Mm-hmm. I have no issues with smut. Do not take this as a criticism of smut. Right. I really enjoy it. But when I'm reading a story, I don't always want it in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have a couple authors who are like, write amazing sex. And even by the end of their books, I'm like, okay, can we skip the sex? I want to find out what happens. We're wrapping up the story. I don't care about the sex.
It's too much. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's awesome. No, you got sex in my werewolf book, or you got werewolves in my sex book.
Oh, I feel like we should do an entire commercial thing about you've got science in my sex book, or you got sex in my science book, all based off of the chocolate and peanut butter stuff. Mm-hmm. I would be totally down for those commercials.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
I could argue both sides, so I wouldn't be fair. Because I read both, so. And I write.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's no shame. It's no shame thrown at, like Mel said, no shame thrown at smut. Like, if that's what you're in for, great. But, like, if I'm in for a really good sci-fi action kind of thriller, you really interrupt my flow when you throw in this really ham-fisted love scene. Like, oh, where did that come from? So, Mel, so you've got 44 titles out. You've got these
more.
And more. I see the Caelid Chronicles, the Blood Wars. Blood Wars, yeah, okay. And Twisted Light. Which one of these series do you recommend for a new reader to jump in and read you for the first time?
Oh, Twisted Luck.
Tell us all about it.
Twisted Luck is extremely clean, I guess. I mean, don't get me wrong, people die right and left, but there's very little on-screen gore, everything else. It starts with a world that in the 1850s, magic seeped into the world, and a world like ours. So everything is just subtly different. And lots of times people are caught when I like reveal another layer of the onion, and they're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. But then they flip back and realize they should have seen it coming because I kind of warned them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it follows a young woman named Corey Monroe, who doesn't think she's a mage, but the weirdest things happen to her. And the first book is more of a coming of age than anything else. Mm-hmm. But then as her life, and I age her, she doesn't say 19. Mm-hmm. The first book, she's 19. The second book, she's 20. The third book, she's 21. The fourth book, she's 24. The last book that I wrote, she was in her late 30s. You know, so she is consistently aging. And one of the fun things I've gotten to do with her is I'm sure all of us remember all the things that we believed absolutely 100% back in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That we now look back at and go, oh God, you had no clue. Mm-hmm. You just didn't get it.
Yes.
I have her change. I have a lot of the stuff that she's so fervent and sure about when she's 19. As a 30-year-old and mother of twins, she's like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure. Not doing that.
Nice. Good. Yeah.
And it's just fun. The other fun thing that I did with that I had a lot of response to is she's asexual. Okay. And so she's like, uh-huh, sure, you guys go do your kissy stuff. That's fine. I'm going to go over here and read the book. Not interested.
Nice.
And about halfway through book two, she gets her familiar. Trust me, once you meet Carillion, you will, yeah, she doesn't need a spouse. She has Carillion. Carillion is everything. He's a smart ass cat with opposable thumbs.
Oh, that's trouble.
Truly doesn't understand why when she fights somebody in a magic duel and defeats them, he doesn't get to eat them.
And
they have this conversation a lot. And she's like, I don't think humans taste as good as you think they do. His response, hot sauce sells everything.
Toss him a finger.
That's right. That's great.
He has no issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they even get into a discussion one time because as the books go on, you get exposed more and more into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking to Carillion and his mother, Esmer. And they're like, but you eat other creatures. They're sentient. And they're like, yeah. And she's like, doesn't that bug you? Why? They would eat us if they caught us. If you're too stupid to move fast, you deserve to be dinner. She's just sitting there going, they aren't humans. I have to quit expecting human responses.
Right. Anthropomorphize the creature, but it's not a human.
That's great.
It's not a human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is this series part of a shared world series? I saw that you have a shared world series on your website.
No, this series is completely mine. I have 8 novels, 3 novellas, and I just dropped a thriller Friday, actually, that it exists in this world.
Oh, congrats.
So my shared world series is The Blood War. It is basically apocalyptic male sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's lots of fun to write because my co-author is a 20-year Army vet. He retired out as a lieutenant colonel. He spent a lot of time in Europe working on ordnance and other things. So when I tell you the military stuff is 100% correct, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Especially with how often they use the F-bomb.
No language is real. that is true. I'm not military, but I've got a couple of buddies who were, and they police my work, and they're like, yeah, you need more in here.
Yes.
Got to be authentic.
That's true.
Well, it's really funny because he'll describe scenes that make perfect sense to him. And I'm like, okay, I get this. It's a good scene. Mm-hmm. But you can't just call every person in the scene major. And he's like, but that's what they are. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know who Major Who is.
Major Who,
And he's like, well, you can tell who they are by what they're saying. I'm like, I'm a civilian. I have no clue. He's like, oh, I guess I should tell you. Should that? Yes, please.
Yeah.
That's great. They're... And you have a lot of reviews on these books. How did you get so many reviews?
This episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine, handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. In honor of our second year with the Diva Lab is sending me a super secret new product to try. Because of how all these great products make me smell, in a good way, I can't wait to try this one out and report back. You can try all the Diva's creations at www.bathbombdiva.com. And thanks again to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show. Wow.
You know what? I'm the person that I'm like, oh, here's a book. And I go on and I come back. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of reviews. Okay. I go away. I come back. I'm like, oh, there's more reviews. Hi. Thanks, people. I honestly have just always published and kept going because the whole marketing thing by far is my biggest fail in the world because marketing is my own personal torture. If hell is real and they decide to punish me, they're going to make me work in a marketing office.
Exactly. I don't know of many authors who are like, yeah, sign me up for the marketing side.
There are a few out there who truly, truly enjoy it. And I'm like, I am moving forward. I will make it to the end, but I'm not setting any records.
Yep. There are a few exceptions. Absolutely. The rest of us are like, why? If that's what I wanted to do, I wouldn't have been a writer.
Yeah. I mean, as for the reviews, I mean, let's see. I published, the one that I'm waiting to see if people like because it was a totally different story that I'd written than what I've written before. So I'm kind of curious to see if people are going to like it. I published it Friday and I'm already up to 3 reviews. So that's not bad.
What's the name of that one?
That is Mage Hunter Vengeance, or Vengeance Mage Hunter Book 1.
And that's the one you called a thriller.
Yes, it is absolutely thriller. So in the Twisted Luck series, you meet a character named Scott Randall. And he's just, for most of the series, it's just these occasional remarks that he used to be a mage hunter and that a movie was made off of something that he did when he was younger. And everybody has seen the movie. Think Die Hard. Okay.
Right.
Everybody has seen the movie. The problem is the movie took liberal creative artistic measures and then stretched. So all of these things think everybody who's met him thinks, oh, this is what really happened. And that's not really how it went down. I should have never signed that waiver. So this is actually the story of what truly happened that was the movie was made out of. And if you've read you read the book, you can totally see how this would be a movie, especially if they like cut out the intervening 6 months and just took the beginning and end and put them together.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we know that reporters and people doing movies are always 100% accurate and never tell anything other than the unvarnished truth.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
But no, and then let's see. I mean, I have lots of like little stories. I have stories in anthologies. The Caleb stuff was okay. So I'm an old gamer. we're gonna say old gamer.
Yeah. When you say old gamer, are we talking like EverQuest, or are we talking like paper and pencil?
We're talking. I was playing paper and pencil D&D in 1978.
Okay. OG. Yeah, that's OG gaming.
It's kind of hard to get much that's, more OG than that.
Yep, that's 1E, right? That's first edition.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I've done White Wolf. I did WoW for years. I'm a gamer. I mean, I remember if you're old, you'll remember they came out with a text game on Apple computers and Apple computers only called Colossal Cave Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was all chat. It was,
it was all text based.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a path appears in front of you. You mm-hmm. can go south or north. Which way mm-hmm. do you go? North. You walk into a cave. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah.
And you would have to, you had to use graph paper and
map it.
You had to map it. Nobody had maps. No online guides, no walkthroughs, no support. Oh my gosh.
Nope.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And now they have what I call super CGI, which is, you know, that it's like animated, but it's so beautiful that it's so close to real that you take your breath away.
So this is going to be a total side trip.
Yep.
But I have a Oculus VR.
Oh, excellent.
And
okay.
A friend and I have been playing Dungeons of Eternity on it.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeons of Eternity is basically a 1, 2, or 3 person squad where you go through dungeons, fight things, and loot chests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, you're warping in. You've got your bow, your mace, your sword, whatever you're fighting with. I cannot tell you how many times I have shrieked when the damn spider jumps on my face.
Too real.
I would too, because I hate spiders.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat. Yeah, that would not work for me.
It's not a little quarter-sized spider. No, the thing is double the size of my head.
Yeah.
And it will jump at you from like 10 feet away, and all of a sudden you just have spider flying at you.
Yeah, thank you for the warning. I will not be playing that game.
It is so much fun, but having that spider come at you, you shriek every single time because you're not expecting it.
Okay, yeah,
that being said, yes. I did lots of gaming and stuff, and I've always loved Werewolf. I loved playing Werewolf the Apocalypse. My
mm-hmm.
White Wolf was like mm-hmm. one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been and still are this huge spurt of paranormal romances with werewolves or wereshifters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was so tired of fated mates. So tired of them. I was tired of it all being sex and all the, I can't resist him. He's my mate, and the hiding in the darkness. I'm not saying they're bad. And trust me, we aren't looking at my Kindle to see how many of these I have. I was just tired of it.
Yeah,
I wanted to read something involving shifters that wasn't always the hiding in the darkness have to be secret. So I wanted to write a shifter story that everything is laid out in front. Everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the Caelid Chronicles came out, mm-hmm. is how do you have shifters without magic?
Mm-hmm.
And that took me a while to play with because I really wanted to do something without the magic. I didn't want the mate stuff. I wasn't interested. Again, mm-hmm. we will not look at my Kindle and see how many of these books I have because there are a lot, but I wanted something different.
So can you tell it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Go ahead. Great.
It's giving it away, but
yeah,
it only gives it away for the first book. Basically, I have aliens and nanobots to Earth to basically turn us into cannon fodder.
Nice.
The problem is the aliens or the nanobots went through a massive solar flare. So they are coming to Earth and it warped their programming.
Uh-huh.
So rather than turning us into a mindless beast, we got turned into some creatures with the ability to go back and forth between our forms.
And one
of the main characters gets the AI, who also had part of its coding removed. So in mm-hmm. efforts to restructure its coding, it takes it from her life, and she's a cop.
Mm.
So it rebuilds its programming with a brand new set of parameters
mm-hmm.
versus what was sent down.
Nice.
But it means that everything is, parents, lovers, children were turning in front of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I also did it so that it was science-based. So I figured it took about 5,000 to 6,000 calories per shift. So you go one direction, it's a shift. You go the other direction, it's a shift. Yeah, so shifters eat a lot.
Hungry, yeah, hungry, hungry.
I mean, a lot. And I also had it where there's a little news blurb I put in this where some kids were getting high on like meth and stuff and started shifting back and forth. Well, the nanobots started sabotaging things like brain and heart to keep getting the energy to shift.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically starved themselves to death because they weren't paying attention to the fact that their body was self-sabotaging.
Right, right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A nice twist.
I had a lot of fun with that series. I wish it had been more popular and I probably would write more in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those that if the right cultural zeitgeist happens, that series will take off.
Right.
How do you define taking off? Like where is the series that you're like, oh yeah, this one took off, but this one didn't. Like where's that?
Twisted where Luck. That one? Twisted Luck. Basically,
but how do you draw that line?
For me, it's mostly money. I mean, okay. I think I probably made $20,000-$30,000 off of Caleb Chronicles. I've made $200,000-$300,000 off of Twisted Luck.
Wow.
Yeah, that would do it. Okay. That's a good line.
I mean, and you can take a look and see how popular things become. So if they're like, if a really big movie, another Werewolf in London or something popped up, and I did marketing just right, that could get this sort of series
that would
to take
hit it.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. And because it's such a different take on werewolves.
Yes.
So I love it. I love it too. Yeah.
You can tell how much trouble I have talking.
We don't have that issue here. No. We can always come up with something to talk about.
Jen and I never have that. Jen and I never have that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, okay, are we talking comic books? Are we talking graphic novels? Are we talking, what genre are we talking about? Are we talking about things that we had to read in high school that we still want to stab with a knife over and over again?
Just had discussion too. Yeah. I just watched a movie, Voyagers, and I knew immediately that it was Lord of the Flies in space, but I've never read Lord of the Flies. And somebody's like, you've never read Lord of the Flies? Yeah, I can get past, but I did read like Heart of Darkness and, I can't remember some of the stuff, Sound of the Fury, all this stuff. It's not Lord of the Rings, is it?
One of the interesting things about Lord of the Flies, which I really want to go back in time and jump up and down on my teacher's desk and say, I told you so, is it was always hailed as that this is what would happen if English boys were isolated. Mm-hmm. And I always said, no, it wouldn't. This isn't how it would happen. They wouldn't break down like this. I would give all my justification. I got like C's on most of my papers because I hated Lord of the Flies. A few years ago, I stumbled over a news article about a bunch of kids from a boarding school in New Zealand who got shipwrecked and were lost for like, 6 months, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were perfectly fine. They built little huts. And that was the story that Fielding based Lord of the Flies off of. Except, of course, he changed everything and made it horrible and traumatic.
Right.
And I'm like, I told you I was right. That was not what they would do.
It's nice to have been right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, my son had to read that. And he's like, but that's not what was real. And then he shares this whole story with me. I'm like, holy cow, this is awesome. So that is a lot better. So, but some books you don't have to read to know what they're about. I don't have to hold the conch to know what the conch is. So,
I still don't understand why people are still like, The Great Gatsby was so excellent. I'm like, it was boring, narcissistic rambling.
Yeah, not my favorite. I also read A Catcher in the Rye when I was like in my 20s. Hated that book. It was such a whiny little
brat. You're supposed to love it in your 20s. Like, isn't that supposed to be when you love it?
I think you're supposed to love it in like it's as a 16-year-old. I think that might be the cutoff for Catcher in the Rye. I think
much like Dune. I think you should love Dune in your teens. And I apparently missed that boat. So
where you don't notice that or the rampant head hopping.
Oh my gosh.
You don't realize it's a thing.
Yes.
That's one of the things that drives me up a wall. Nuts.
Yeah. See? Like, why?
That's the one rule that drives me nuts.
No. There's a reason for, you don't head hop. Yeah. I get on every one of my authors who comes through. If they head hop, I'm on them. Like,
I will say, though, there are some people who can do it really well. And Nora Roberts is one of them. She head hops constantly. And her stuff is so smooth. Granted, the woman has written something like 50, 60 million words at this point. Yeah. I'm not criticizing her. No, no, she can do whatever the heck she wants.
At that point, you'll let her slide.
at this point, I'm pretty sure she can tell me all the things I'm doing wrong.
Right, right.
But yeah, she is the smoothest head hopping to the point you don't even realize she does it unless you're actually looking for it.
Right, right.
Nice.
Most of us aren't that good.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, most of us are ham-fisted if you do it wrong. Yeah, you're like, oh, stop. It hurts your head. Mel, it has been so great to have you on. I'm going to give Jen the last question today.
Oh, thank you so much. I have a great question. Which series would you like to see as a TV or a movie show?
Mm. What's my budget?
And unlimited.
Oh, well.
Oh.
Wow, Jen.
Caleb Chronicles.
Jen's green lighting it.
I mean, come on. We've got people turning into animals, and they have both the human form, animal form, and the warrior form. Mm-hmm. You've got shape-shifting dragons. You have aliens that look like elves. You have multiple spaceships, plus a glorious crash landing into White Sands.
Mm.
I mean.
Because you have to.
Right.
Well, yeah. Where else are you going to crash a spaceship?
That's where you crash them. It's known.
I mean, it's sitting there. It says, come crash here. Exactly. That's where you crash.
I'm pretty certain that's why they always crash there. So
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so great.
Awesome. I mean, come on, it's fun. That, and you have these cute, adorable kids, two of which are black jaguars, and the other one's a white wolf, and then a baby tiger. Awesome. How can you not just want to ooh and ah over baby critters with human intelligence?
That's the series. I see. I can see it. That's awesome. Mel, it's been so great. We've loved having you. Once again, if anybody did not get that name in the beginning, it's Bad Ash Publishing. So definitely check out Mel and the titles that she has for sale there. Jen, we did it again.
Yes, we did. Another great episode. I'm so excited for everybody to hear this one.
Absolutely. It's spring break over here, so I'm going to make everybody listen to it over spring break. So.
Great. Thanks for listening to Misbehaving, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.